Welcome back to the Deep Dives. We're always looking at those familiar symbols around us, digging into histories that are often way more surprising than you'd think.
Oh, yeah.
And today, well, we're tackling a really iconic one, the barber pole. You know the one, that spinning cylinder, red, white, often blue stripes. It just screams barbershop, doesn't it?
Yeah.
A haircut, a shave. But if you've ever thought, that kind of looks a bit medical, well, you're definitely on to something, because this symbol, it's got this history that's frankly pretty complex.
Yeah.
And a bit gruesome.
Yeah, that's really the core of this deep dive, isn't it? Our mission today is to sort of unpack how this sign evolved. We're going to trace it right back from, believe it or not, a practical marker for some pretty serious medieval medical stuff, things you'd never link to a trim today, all the way to the modern symbol we see. We'll look at those key moments, you know, ancient Rome, the whole barber surgeon era.
Right. And the key thing for you listening to keep in mind is how this super recognizable sign actually started out. We're talking practical medieval medicine, blood and bandages.
Right.
Okay, so let's dive in. Where do we even start? The sources take us way, way back. I mean, barbering itself, it's ancient. We're finding evidence from Bronze Age societies, early razors, things like that.
Mm-hmm. But for Europe, the story really kicks off in Rome. Around what, 296 BC? That's when it seems to have been formally introduced, brought over from Sicily.
And it wasn't just about haircuts in Rome, was it?
Not at all. That's crucial. The Roman barbershops, the Tonsrina, they were huge social hubs. Seriously important places. Think of them like, I don't know, a mix between a coffee shop and a debating club today. People gathered there, discussed politics, business, caught up on news. And the name itself, barber, comes straight from Latin. Barba, meaning beard.
Right, barba.
And what's really fascinating is how grooming, well, it wasn't just personal choice. It actually marked out your social status. If you were a free Roman citizen, you were generally expected to be clean-shaven. It was a sign of, you know, being civilized, disciplined. Your status.
All slaves.
Slaves were often required to wear beards. It was a visible mark of servitude. So right from the start, the guy holding the razor, he held a lot of social weight.
Wow. So getting a shave wasn't just grooming. It was broadcasting who you were in society.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, now for the big pivot.
Mm-hmm.
The part that gets, well, messy. Middle Ages. Barbers suddenly become barber surgeons.
Mm.
How does that happen? You're cutting hair one minute, then setting bones the next. Was there just nobody else?
That's largely it. You had academic physicians, sure, but they were expensive, not many around, and often more focused on theory. Your local barber. He had sharp tools, he probably had a steadier hand than most, and maybe, just maybe, a better grasp of basic anatomy than anyone else available to the common person.
So they just filled the gap.
Exactly. They became the go-to healthcare providers for ordinary folks. They were doing tooth extractions, treating wounds, setting bones, and of course, the big one, bloodletting.
Ah, bloodletting. Based on that humoral medicine idea.
Precisely. The old theory about the four humors, blood, phlegm, yellow bile, black bile, health meant balance. So if you were sick, the thinking was you probably had too much of something, usually blood.
And the cure was to drain some blood off.
Right. Logical, based on the theory, even if not always helpful in practice, and the barber was the person doing it, it was like the most common medical procedure.
Okay, so this wasn't just a side gig. This was a major part of their job.
Mm.
And it got formalized.
It did. We see organizations popping up. France, 1094, the first one. Then places like the College de Saint-Côme in Paris around 1210.
Mm.
They even started making distinctions.
How so?
Visually, the university-trained surgeons wore long robes, symbolized their academic standing. The barber surgeons, the practical guys, they wore short robes.
Short robes for the hands-on work.
Mm-hmm. And in England, they got their royal charter in 1462, officially became the Company of Barbers.
Okay, so let's connect this back to the pole itself. It wasn't just a sign yet, was it?
No, not at first. It was a practical tool. When you went in for bloodletting, you'd literally grip a staff, a pole.
Why? Just it's something to hold on to.
Two main reasons, yeah. One, squeezing it helped make your veins pop out, easier to access for the procedure. And two, well, yeah, probably helped to have something solid to grip while someone's draining your blood. Discomfort is putting it mildly, I imagine.
And sometimes there was a basin involved.
Often, yes. A brass basin, maybe on top of the pole to catch the blood, or sometimes to hold the leeches they might use.
Leeches, too. Okay, so walking into a barbershop back then definitely carried more risks than just a bad haircut.
You could say that. You might leave a bit lighter, one way or another.
Right. So we've got this physical pole being used.
Yeah.
How does that transform into the spinning, striped sign we recognize? Let's decode that spiral and the colors.
Okay. This is where the story gets really interesting and a bit grim from an advertising perspective. Remember the bloodletting. And the bandages.
The linen bandages, right.
Right. After the procedure, the barber surgeon would wash these bandages, some clean, some still, well, bloodstained, and they'd hang them outside the shop to dry. Often they'd hang them on that very pole used in the procedure.
Then the wind?
The wind would catch them, twist them around the pole, creating the spiral pattern, red from the blood, white from the clean bandages.
Wow. So the sign was literally bloody laundry.
Pretty much. It was accidental, organic advertising. Instantly told everyone, bloodletting done here. Gruesome, but effective.
And eventually they just painted a wooden pole to look like that.
Exactly. Cleaner, more permanent. But the symbolism stuck.
So the colors are super direct. Red is
arterial blood, or the bloodstained bandages. A very visceral symbol.
And the white.
That stood for the clean bandages, the attempt at hygiene, maybe also the pole itself, the staff the patient gripped.
Okay, red and white makes sense, given the history. But what about the blue? So many poles, especially here in the U.S., are red, white, and blue.
Yeah, the blue is almost certainly a later addition, particularly in America, probably late 19th, early 20th century. Now, some older interpretations try to link it to venous blood, you know, red for arteries, blue for veins, white for bandages, completing the picture.
Like the whole circulatory system.
Kind of, but honestly, the most widely accepted reason, especially in the U.S. patriotism.
Ah, linking to the flag.
Exactly. It was a way to tie this traditional trade sign into a sense of national identity. It shows how symbols adapt, doesn't it? Takes on new meanings while keeping the old form.
Okay, so barbers and surgeons were linked for centuries.
Yeah.
But it couldn't last forever, right? Medicine was advancing.
Absolutely. Especially understanding of anatomy, surgical techniques. Things got more complex. The need for specialization became really clear. You couldn't just be doing everything anymore.
And the law started to catch up.
It did. A key moment was in England, 1540, King Henry VIII. He created the United Barber Surgeons Company. Sounds like unity, but...
But it was actually the start of the split.
Pretty much. That very act started drawing lines. It limited barbers mainly to, you know, hair, shaves, but also kept bloodletting and tooth pulling with them for a while. Crucially, though, it barred the more academic surgeons from doing basic grooming, setting up two distinct paths.
And this separation continued.
Yes. Over in France, 1743, King Louis XVIII went further, banned barbers from doing any surgery at all, really pushed them firmly into the grooming role.
And the final nail in the coffin for the joint profession.
Probably in England, 1800, the establishment of the Royal College of Surgeons in London, that really cemented surgery as its own high-level medical field, completely separate.
So as they split legally, did the symbol change too? Did they try to signal who did what?
There was definitely an attempt at that. As barbers tried to move away from the surgeon part of their past, some sources suggest they started using different pole colors.
Like what?
Maybe specifically blue and white poles to signal, hey, we just do grooming now, none of that messy medical stuff. While the surgeons, or those still doing basic procedures, might have kept the traditional red and white.
But that didn't stick everywhere, did it? Because we still see red and white, or red, white, and blue for barbers.
Exactly. It seems like the historical weight of the original colors, the red and white blood and bandages theme, or the later patriotic version, was just too strong. The public recognized it, trusted it. So even if some barbers tried to rebrand with just blue and white, the original color scheme ultimately won out for the grooming profession. The history was too embedded.
Which brings us to today. The pole is purely symbolic now. A sign for grooming, but loaded with all that history.
Mm-hmm. Purely commercial, but it carries that heritage.
And the spinning. That's just modern marketing, right? Catch the eye.
Pretty much. Pure kinetic advertising. The movement grabs your attention on a busy street, creates that classic spiral illusion. Just very effective. Simple mechanics. Big impact.
We talked about the color variations. Red, white, and blue, common in the U.S.
Yeah, linked to patriotism often.
Well, in Europe?
You're much more likely to see the traditional red and white still. Holding on to that direct historical link to the bloodletting days, it kind of tells the story of its journey just through the colors used regionally.
It's amazing how universal it is, though. North America, Europe, Australia.
Yeah.
Well, you see that pole, you know exactly what it means.
Absolutely. It transcends language. It signals craft, tradition, authenticity. It's this visual bridge connecting centuries of pretty intense professional evolution right up to modern hairstyling. A truly global symbol.
What a ride. From like Bronze Age tools and Roman social clubs.
Through medieval emergency rooms.
To the slick spitting sign on the high street today.
Really? makes you think, doesn't it, how this symbol carries centuries of history just in those colors. It had to kind of shed its bloody medical function to survive as a grooming symbol. Yet it kept the visual core, the colors, the spiral tying every modern barber back to that, well, fascinating and slightly terrifying tradition.
Yeah, think about that. A globally recognized industry symbol that basically started as bloody rags drying in the wind.
Yeah.
Haha. Yeah, when you put it like that. Accidental, gruesome, brilliant branding.
It makes you wonder, doesn't it? Are there any other trade signs today that carry such a dark, complex history? Or has our modern digital age created any symbols with that same kind of instant global practical weight? Something to mull over next time you see that red, white, and blue spinning.
Definitely something to think about.